Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning. I'm going to give. Hallelujah. It's hot outside, but it's cool inside. If you're saved, this is as close to hell as you're ever going to get. Hallelujah. I'm going to do a couple of announcements and then we'll get right into the word. You'll see out on the table as you were coming in, there's a flyer for a worship night at the depot. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. We're going to participate in that. We don't have an evening service. So it's Sunday, July 19th at the depot at 5:30 p.m. I actually talked to Josh Jones. You'll see some of the information there about him. But Josh Jones gave me a call and was talking to me about some of the things that this Sean Foyt, I don't know who Sean Foyt is, but apparently he started something called Burn 24/7. Is that right? Something like that. Anyway, and it's a worship and prayer thing that they do. And he was sharing a testimony with me. Josh was, not Sean Foyt, I don't know him. But he was sharing a testimony with me about how he went to Iraq. And he was leading worship there. And some people were at the meeting, they said, or at this worship rally that he was doing, they said, we want you to come to this specific place and lead worship there. They said, because your music is healing to our people. The worship that you're singing, what you're doing is healing to our people. So he ended up in Saddam Hussein's palace, leading worship. And they ended up having all these cameras came out, you know, right when, and video and stuff like that. When he was starting to lead worship, he's saying, hey, what's going on? They said, this music is healing for our people, and so we want everybody to hear it. And so in Iraq, in Saddam Hussein's palace, I mean, that's just like the Lord, you know. A man gets so full of the enemy and will not yield to God. God will judge that leader, take him down, and then put a worship leader in the middle of his palace to give him praise. I mean, that's just like the Lord. The Lord will do that. If people don't repent, if they harden themselves and reject him, there is judgment. I know sometimes people don't understand that, but that's just simply the case. But anyway, and so he's had lots of testimonies. Heidi was reading, we get a magazine called The Voice of the Martyrs, and before bed she was reading it, and she was reading some of these testimonies to me about how in Muslim countries, and you're not going to hear about this on the news, okay? All you're going to hear about on the news is what they want you to hear. You're not going to hear good things. They're going to try and brainwash you on the news, you know what I mean, to what they want you to focus on. But she was talking about in those countries where ISIS is doing all the things that they are to, like the Coptic Christians and different groups like that, the Muslims that are there are so turned off by ISIS, they're taking Christianity like crazy. They're receiving Bibles. I mean, leaders of Muslim, like mosques and things like that. They're quote-unquote preachers. I don't know if that's what I don't know what they call them. But they're taking the Bible and they're getting born again because they're so turned off by what these radical Islamists or ISIS are doing. And so God is having his way. And he always will. And this is something that came up during the worship time to me, and I need to say it to you because the Holy Spirit brought it up to me, is that in the face of everything that's going on right now in America and around the world, we win. You understand that. Now, we are faith people. We live and walk by faith. We don't live and walk by sight. So if you can't handle seeing everything on the news, stop watching it and start reading your Bible. If you just cannot, if you're not strong enough spiritually yet to where you can resist the fear that's coming through those mediums, then don't listen to them anymore. Shut them off. The Lord will take care of you. You'll know what to. People say, well, I won't know what's going on. The Holy Ghost knows everything about everything. He knows everything. He's not lacking understanding or wisdom, or whether if he needs to get a hold of you because something's going to happen, I believe he knows your phone number. Okay? And he doesn't even have a phone book. The other thing that came up in my heart during worship was this. A lot of times in life, the enemy, he practices this, what I've heard other ministers say this, but the pile-up effect. You know what the pile-up effect is? You think you have one problem and then you got six. You think you got six problems and now you got 12. You thought you had one bill and now you've got 25 bills. And I heard the Lord say, he said, tell them to believe me because I'm more than enough. Don't worry about it. Believe your God. He made the planet. He made the universe. I believe he can take care of your bank account. Right? And I saw it when that first part of that song, You Stood Before Creation, that song that was singing, I just was in my heart. I saw the Lord standing back from the world and from the universe, just standing there. And the thought that was coming to me is, look, I made it all. I got it. Relax. Yeah, take a break. He's got it. And you know what that requires on our part? That requires faith. So what does that mean? That means you control your mind and your thoughts and don't let the enemy run you. Don't let him. You don't have to. You say, I just can't help but do this or that. No, no, no. If the Bible tells you you don't have to do it, you don't have to do it. What you're doing is, when you get in fear, is you're yielding to the enemy. You're giving him opportunity to work in your life. Just like faith gives God access to your life, fear gives the enemy access to your life. How many times did God say, fear not? How many times did Jesus walk up to the boys and say, don't fear, boys? He's the same. Don't fear. What are you saying? Don't feel. No, I'm saying don't fear. You're going to feel fear. Resist it. No, I'm not taking that. A thought's going to come to you. You'll never be able to pay your bills. You need to have out of your mouth come, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You feel afraid, but you respond in faith. The feelings will eventually change. Okay? That's the principle of faith. And it's so simple, people walk right by it all the time and don't even realize it. It is so simple. And I understand we are conditioned to fear because we live in the earth. We're born into it. We live in it. You realize you were born into darkness? That's why we're on the series that we're on right now. We are going to have to find, as time continues to go on and on, the scripture clearly teaches that it will be as of the days of Noah when the Lord returns. Okay? It says that. We're not going to be able to stop that. But what we can do is do what Noah did and build an ark. You say, we're going to build an ark? Yes. We're just not going to build the ship. But we will build the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is encouragement moment, so just hang with me here, okay? Like the church, when we started here, there are more than double the amount of people that come to this church than when we started? But yet it still feels like there's a lot of space, a lot of empty chairs, right? Okay, now there are a few people here that aren't here, and I understand. That's no big deal. We don't ever worry about those things, okay? It's people are on vacation, people have things going on, I understand. But if you don't have anything going on, you should be here, okay? If you're not like, you know, across the planet or, you know, had something serious go on, you should be here because you need to be fed. And I'm a pastor. I'm gifted to feed you. You know what I mean? I'm gifted to help you grow. I'm gifted to say the thing to tick you off and make you think. And believe me, I'll do it. You know what I mean? Why? Because I love you. First and foremost, I love God first. But I know what God's heart is. It's for you. And the Lord will say things that make you go, hey. How many read through the word and read something and went, wait a minute. I didn't think it was like that. Well, you just saw it from the mouth of the Lord, so now you have to repent. Amen? God is not how we think he is. He's how he says he is. That's how he is. And any time you begin to think, well, I know more than the Bible on this, I know God's not that way, even though you're seeing it clearly in the Scripture, you've now stepped into idolatry. Anytime, you know, I think in some churches, if Jesus was pictured in the church, he would be partly Jesus, and, you know, if there was a carving of him or something, a stone image of Jesus, it would be part Jesus and part everything else everybody thinks. See, what people don't realize is if your image of God is outside the Word of God and what he's like, then you've taken a piece of stone and you're starting to carve what you want God to be. God doesn't need you to define him. He defined himself. You need God to define you. And it is the nature of Satan to want to define God, because he wants to take him over. He wants to rule him. And that nature runs through all the earth. The spirit of Antichrist runs through all the earth. But we have the light. We have the truth. Amen? So, if you know somebody that, you know, comes and they've been out of church for a while and you see them, invite them back. We're not mad at them. Amen? Just come. The other thing I was going to say was this, because I was talking about we actually doubled the amount of people that come, okay? We're going to double again. I heard the Lord say it to me. Now, here's the thing. This is how this works. See, God will anoint somebody to lead a group, okay? Because he works in leadership. How many have been doing the Bible reading? If you read through there are times, especially through the epistles, you'll see where Paul says, honor those that are over you in the Lord. Well, who's over you in the Lord? People say, well, you can't just decide to be over me. I'm not deciding to be over you. If you came here and the Lord said to you, this is where you're supposed to be, then who told you that we were your pastors? The Lord did. Amen? So if the Lord said it, you have to follow it. What does that mean? That means you have a choice. You can either follow it or choose not to. I'm not going to make you do anything. Are you kidding? I got to try and make my kids do stuff. I'm not going to try and make the church do anything. You know what I mean? But what we'll do is we'll make everything available every week. And we'll continue to grow and continue to develop. And we'll continue to have more services during the week. We'll break it into another service. And we'll continue to give opportunity to hear the word and be a part of what God is leading us to do. And whether you choose to be a part of it or not is up to you. And so if the Lord puts it on your heart, I've seen it happen so many times, guys. God will move on somebody and life will start happening. They'll come to a service, they'll be a part of a group, and then they'll think, man, this is where I'm supposed to be, this is what I'm supposed to do, and then life starts happening, and all of a sudden they're just off doing other things. And they're always frustrated because they're never fulfilling what God has called them to do. Because you know why? It's harder to walk by faith than it is to walk by sight. Faith is for the strong, not for the weak. I believe I'm looking at the strong. You know what I mean? And so we're going to double again. And then we'll double again. And then we'll double again. And people are going to come and then they're going to leave. But am I going to cry about that? No. Is that going to stop you and me from doing what God's called us to do? Never. Why would we do that? We love God more than anything. If we showed up and everybody quit, and it was just me and Heidi, I'd make Kylie teach the children's. She'd be teaching Ian and Taylor. And then me and Heidi would be in here going, and I'd be preaching to her. And she'd be saying amen. What's the next scripture? Why? This is by faith. But if you learn this, you will grow and grow and grow and develop, and it won't matter what you face, you'll be like David's mighty men. You'll be looking for giants to slay. You know what I mean? We either got 30 giants. Yeah, we got 5 strong men. Let's go. Yeah, there's 30 giants. We will whoop them. You know what I mean? Jesus never looks at a situation and goes, how are we going to do it? My God's too big. He's just way too big. He holds the universe like this. He holds it like this. And we are going to see the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Well, how do you know? By faith. The Lord said it. We're going to see it. Well, you say, we're the only ones. No, it has nothing to do with us being the only ones. There'll be lots of churches. The church is the church. It's just which part did God call you to connect to? Hey. You know, it's rare, in fact, hardly ever, does my elbow fellowship with the back of my knee. I don't go around like this all the time. I say, what are you doing? Well, I'm getting my body to fellowship these two. That's not very comfortable. Yeah, the Lord doesn't do that. Sometimes people have this idea that the body of Christ is supposed to be all together in one place. It's a body. Does your finger hang out with your big toes a lot? It's weird if they do. But is your big toe and your finger still a part of the same body, still functioning and doing things that they're supposed to do? Come on, guys. The enemy is working to deceive us, and we got to open up the light and let people see. Now, we can come together corporately. I'm not against that. But what I'm called to and what we're called to and the part of the body that God's called us to and to be a part of may be different than what Faith Chapel does. Good. Bless them. Let's just do what we need to do and we can all hang out in heaven. All the toes and fingers can hang out all day in heaven. You know what I mean? Let's just do our part and get it done. Don't look at what you see. Don't be moved by what you feel. Get after it with the Lord and believe Him. We will change what we see by faith. Amen? I mean, I know this is like cheerleader time. I understand. But listen, this is what it's about. And the enemy is constantly working to stop faith. It's never too late with God. It's never too hard. There's no stage of cancer that's too difficult for Him. There's no sickness, no disease, no pain, no suffering, no depression, no anything that is too hard for our God. It doesn't exist. And we are a church and a people that are going to believe Him for ridiculously awesome things. Well, how did you guys do that? We got a big, big, big God. He's just big. Amen? All right. Felt good. All right, so some quick announcements. Shift gears. Monday, 2 Thessalonians 3 through 1 Timothy 4, okay? Next week, I wanted to announce this. We're going to be, Pastor Dan and Erica Owings will be here. And from Marion, Ohio is where they're from. Erica's here right now. But Dan's coming. And they just planted a church, Hope Family Church, in Marion, Ohio. And I'm going to have Dan share. And he's going to share whatever on his heart. And then we're going to take up an offering for that church. You want to know why? Because I hate the devil in Ohio as much as I hate him here. That's why. I mean, I want to slap him. I mean, bad. I want to slap him. And the reality is, I can't physically fight him, so I have to spiritually fight him. So how do I do that? I take the money that would have been used for things that are evil that comes into my hands, and I put it back into the kingdom of God. And the devil goes, ouch. And I go, you think that hurt? Just wait till we're sowing even bigger checks. You ain't seen nothing. My God owns universes. He owns planets. This stuff is easy. All right, the path of light. If you want to get your notes out, you can. Praise God. If you don't have a Bible, man, I encourage you. Like Mike was saying, look at the scriptures. Write them down. Get the scriptures in your mind. Amen? You need to look at it and see if we're telling the truth or not. And if we're not, you need to find the truth. Let's open to John chapter 8, I think it is. Yep, John chapter 8. And I'm just going to review briefly, and then we'll get right into today. And I might do one more after this, or I might finish it today. We'll just see what happens, because we got communion here at the end of the service today. John chapter 8, please. John chapter 8. And I'm going to review just a little bit for you, because it's been a couple of weeks since we talked on this subject. So I want to review our main scripture. You can go to John chapter 8, but I'm just going to read the main scripture. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're talking about the importance of the word of God. A commentary on that scripture says, "The word of God is a quenchless light. The advancing intelligence of humanity will never supersede its necessity or dim its luster." Another statement by Ronald Reagan. He said this, "Within the covers of the Bible are all the answers for all the problems men face. The Bible can touch hearts, order minds, and refresh souls." And then we made this statement to you. When the Bible makes sense, don't go looking for any other sense or you will end up with nonsense. All right? So that's just the way it works. God's word is God's word. Amen? There's a scripture actually in Psalms, I believe it is, and the scripture says that God has exalted his word above his name. Isn't that interesting? Here's what we believe, and this is straight off our beliefs on the website, but we believe this here at Faith Family Church. The Bible is the inspired word of God, the product of holy men of old who spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The new covenant as recorded in the New Testament, we accept as the infallible guide in matters pertaining to conduct and doctrine. Now, there are three passages that we ascribe to reinforce that statement. 2 Timothy 3:16, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and 2 Peter 1:21. So those are the three passages. If you wanted to look them up on the website, they're there as well. There are six reasons. Now, don't write these down. Just listen. There are six reasons to study your Bible. There is no person on earth who is exalted above the Bible. I don't care who they are. There is no church authority who can speak on an equal level with the Bible. I don't care who they are. There is no, the I don't care who they are is not in there. I'm adding that. There is no so-called new revelation from God that is not already contained in the Bible. Okay? The Bible is above all men when it comes to matters of faith, practice, doctrine, and conduct. The Bible is our source of authority. It is what we believe. It is the foundation for our faith. And sixth, the Bible is the Word of God. It is God speaking to me. Okay? So we've looked at a few things so far. And the first week we looked at the entrance of God's Word brings light. And that was Psalms 119:130. We also looked at the Lord and the Word of God are one. And that's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 through 18. We looked at the association between light and truth. Light and truth. Whenever you see truth, you see light. When truth comes, you see it like you should see it. If you don't see it, if you're confused, truth's not there. Make sense? Okay? So you say, what do? Search for more truth. Look back to the light. Get back to the light. Well, I don't see it yet. Well, then you need to keep reading the Word and keep believing God. Because eventually, you'll see it. Okay? You'll see it. It'll become a part of you. And then lastly, we talked about love for the Word of God above all else. And I encourage you, Psalms 119, read the whole chapter over and over and over again. It's only like 180 verses. Just read it again and again and again. Spend an hour when you would have watched your favorite TV show and just read Psalm 119 over and over and over and over again. The Bible is food. Jesus is called the bread of life. Well, he's also called the Word of God. So you can get full of the Word like you get full of bread. How many have gotten full of bread before? Did you know when you were full? Do you think you could know when you're full of the Word? It's better than being full of it. All right, so this morning, first point, allowing God to change your life, have an open heart to the Bible. John chapter 8, verse number 34. So have an open heart to the Bible. Let's look at some truth here. This will answer questions for us. Let's pray first. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, your word is truth. Your word is life and light. And light comes to us when we study your word. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. Help us. Help us see. Help us know. I just yield myself to you right now, Holy Ghost. You're our teacher. You show us things to come. I ask that you show these people light, open their eyes. We take authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus. We thank you that blinders will be removed today. Truth will be revealed today. Grace will be imparted today. And answers to questions will come. in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Everybody said, amen. John chapter 8, verse 34 says this, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. I'm a son, so I belong to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be what? Free indeed. Not partially free, free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me. This is, he's talking to the religious leaders. Then he makes this statement, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you, verse 38, what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. They said, Abraham is our father. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. You can see this, and I want you to pay attention to this. They are arguing with the truth. They are arguing with the Son of God. Now, they may not realize it, but how many people do this same thing today? All right, we'll get there. Verse 41 says, you are doing the things that your father does. They said, we are not illegitimate children. They protested. The only father we have is God himself. Okay, so who do they believe is their father? God, right. Okay, now that's not Jesus saying that. That's the religious leaders, okay? They said, the only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Now listen, you belong to your father, the what? The devil. What are they saying? God is our father. What is Jesus saying? Your father's the devil. Who's right? Jesus is right every time. Do you know this is going on right now in the earth, right now? There are people saying, well, God's our father, but yet they're completely rejecting his word. Nothing new under the sun, is there? All the same stuff. Different technology, different ways of presenting it, same lies, same truths are still running through the earth. Interesting, isn't it? I find it interesting. In fact, I find it thrilling and fascinating. Why? Because I'm called to be in the front of this thing. Running towards the battle. Not running away. No, I'm not running away. I'd rather die on the front line than die in a cave hiding somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? I would. Jesus died for me. What can I do for him? You know, I surrender all, Lord. People, what they mean is, Lord, I'll probably give you 15 minutes a week. Oh, yeah. Let's get into it. I don't want trivial stuff that doesn't work in my life. I want the real deal. I want substance. I want something that actually works. I don't want, well, you know, it's, I'm a Christian, I guess. Well, how do you know? I go to church every once in a while. So what are we basing that on? Because there are a lot of, the devil goes to church. He goes to church, man, I'm telling you. I met him at church before. So he says, you belong to your father, the devil. This is a bad day for the religious leaders. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. Is Jesus just saying this because he wants to pick a fight? Why is he saying it? Because these men are going to hell and they don't know it. Yeah, that's exactly why, right there. Well, Jesus just is a, he just, you know, they said about Paul all the time. Well, he'd be brought before the judges and stuff, and they'd say, everywhere this guy goes, he starts a fight. No, Everywhere the guy goes, he preaches truth. And the people reject it, and it starts a fight. Yeah, that's the truth. Now, in our society, Christians are told, you can't say that, you can't judge me. If I present the truth, and I just share it to you, and you reject it. Now, if it's just me being a jerk, that's one thing. But if I speak the truth in love, and I share it with somebody, and it's contrary to what they think is right, and they reject it, who did they reject? God. They didn't reject me, or they may reject me. Big deal. What does that mean? I don't amount to much unless I'm doing what the Lord asked me to do and I'm speaking His words. These men are fighting with the truth. The enemy is constantly looking to suppress truth. He's constantly looking to put it down. So he says this, when he lies... Oh, well, let's read verse 44 over again. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, what was Jesus telling them? The truth. You do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Can anybody prove Jesus guilty of sin? No, never. Never. It'll never happen. If he was guilty of any sin, you and I are not saved. Think about it. What do you mean by that? Well, he wasn't a spotless sacrifice. He had no sin in him, no sin on him, no sin around him. You understand what I mean by that? He didn't even smell of sin. He was perfect. He was made sin, but he didn't sin. He had sin put on him. The way sin... In other words, I'll put it to you like this. The sin that was in me was put on Jesus. The righteousness that was in him was put on me. Yes! I got his righteousness. I'm free bird, man. I go right into the throne room. The devil can't do that. Ha ha! In your face. He can't. I go right into the throne room, hang out. What's going on, God? See, the angels are still saying holy. Why? He's my dad. That's good news. When I pray, I don't pray way down here. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. I just go, Dad? Yes, Sean. That's how it is. God speaks to me all day. He's not like a motor mouth. You understand what I'm saying? It's not like that person that follows you around. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? No. I mean, I'm aware of him. He'll speak to me while I'm painting. I'm painting houses. The Lord tells me stuff. He does. He tells me stuff. He talks to me. I know him. And I'm getting to know him better and better and better. It's nice. All right, so he says this. Yet because I tell you the truth, verse 45, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. Oh, that's so good. The reason you do not hear is because you do not belong to God. Well, that's pretty straight to the point. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you're a Samaritan and demon-possessed? Now think about this, guys. They're calling the Son of God demon-possessed. We live in a society today that calls evil good and good evil. Well, you don't love because you don't just accept everything that we want to do. You cannot separate love from truth. They're married. They're married. Do you understand what I mean by that? You cannot... Now, I must speak the truth in love. Now, I can speak truth without love. But listen to me. I cannot speak love without truth. I can't. It's impossible. Because God is what? He's love. Does he ever vary from his word? What if he did vary from his word? We'd fall apart on a molecular level. You say, what do you mean by that? We're held together by the integrity of his word. Everything was created by his word. Come on. I mean, he is the same. He is the same. He doesn't change. Well, and our battle is not against flesh and blood. But listen, we must not be backed into a corner, and we must not be silenced. If it costs us everything, we speak the truth. I had somebody ask me the other day because of the whole Supreme Court decision that happened. They said, well, what if homosexual people want you to marry them? I said, it's no contest. There's no question. I won't do it. Why? Because the Bible says I shouldn't. I have to follow the Bible, right? You say, don't go there, son. I have to go there. Just listen. Hear me out. It's no contest. Well, what if they take your church away? I'll meet in a field. What if they take your house away? I'll live in a cave. What if they take all the way your tax-exempt status? You can have it. My God flew ravens into a prophet, and he gave him meat out of the raven's mouth. Well, you say, you hate those people. I love them, and I speak the truth. Well, what if they persecute? Listen, what did Paul go through? Revival or riot, brother? One or the other. So if we go into an area and we preach the gospel and we have a riot, we'll go to the next one and have a revival. You know what I mean? We just, okay, they don't want it. How do you know? They threw rocks at us the whole time we were preaching. I don't think they want it. Did Paul ever throw rocks back? No, we're not called to throw rocks back. But we're still called to share the truth. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what government or people try to do or intimidate. Don't be afraid of them. Love them. There's no fear in love. It doesn't exist. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, we are going to see homosexuals get saved and become radical for Jesus. I already know one of them. I heard her preach. And she was a lesbian for years. And she had an encounter with God. And she goes to their parades. She goes to everything and preaches Jesus. Oh, we're going to see it. The news media, they put on this facade. And the enemy tries to use it all to scare us. We're not afraid. No, we're not afraid. No, we don't have fear. Fear's not part of us. It's not our DNA. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You say, I'm confused about it. You better get inside your sound mind. Because it's calm, collected, and in control. And it's going one direction. Don't let the enemy in your head. Amen? So, verse 49, he says, I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus. It's interesting. You might have to say that sometime. But I honor my Father and dishonor me. And I'm sorry. I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking the glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will what? Never see death. That's a good word. I will never see death. You say you're not going to physically die. No, me, my spirit. Now, I may not physically die if Jesus returns first, but I will never see death. What do you mean by that? Well, my body will die, but that's not really death. Death is eternal. Hell is death. I'll never see it. Why? I keep his word. Okay, so let's answer some of these questions here. All right? Verse 37. Here's a question for you. What is the main problem that these people have? Okay? If you want to write that down, you can. What is the main problem these people have? The answer is found here in verse 37. It says this. Jesus said, I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because what? You have no room for my word. You have no room for my word. What does that mean? Well, picture your heart like a room. What is it full of? Picture your mind like a room. What do you have in it? What are you putting in there? If you're putting the word in and you're accepting it, you're not closing the door. You know what I mean? If you came up to my house on the front door of my house and you knocked on the door and I opened the door and you said, hey, I'd like to move all this stuff in. And I said, no, and shut the door. Do I have any room for it? No. And that's what these religious people are doing. They're looking at truth and they're going, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. No, that can't come into me. A lot of people do that today. A lot of people will receive the message about Jesus being their Savior, but they won't go beyond that. They won't be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They won't receive the message about healing. They won't receive a message about peace of mind. They won't receive the message of faith. They only receive the first part because they have no room for the other words. I have room for all the words. If it makes me look bad, if it makes me feel bad, if I thought it was one way and I see it's not, then I repent and change and go with what the Word says. You say, why are you teaching this way? Listen, we are on a fast track growing in this church. There is a specific direction that the Lord wants to take us, and everything plays a part. And if we, as we move forward, if you have no room in your heart for His Word, then you are going to be frustrated. Why? Because we want the Word. We want the Lord. We want the Lord to move and to do what He wants to do. Amen. So in Psalms 119:105, he said this. We know from Psalm 119:105 that if they do not have God's Word, then they do not have light. So they're in darkness. These men are not open to God's Word. And that being the case, they cannot have light. All right, let's look at verse 43 in the same passage. We see another answer here to the problem with these men. These men are not wanting to hear or see the truth. They are closing their ears to the Lord. So I'm going to read verse 43 again, and you listen closely. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Were they having a conversation? Was Jesus and the religious leaders of that day in this passage having a conversation? Were they hearing what Jesus said? Well, yes, because they were answering Him, right? Was Jesus talking to a bunch of deaf people? No. He was talking to people who had ears and they could hear. So let me read this in another translation. It will help you, okay? The English Standard Version says it this way. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. Okay? The Message says this. Why can't you understand one word I say? Here's why. You can't handle it. The Amplified says this. Why do you misunderstand what I say? It is because you are unable.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.